Welcome to Ghostwriters Anonymous, an inspirational and interactive podcast where we create worlds through words and writing. I'm Kelsey, and today I'd like to know, if you were a cleanup on aisle 9, what cleanup would you be? I would be a shattered pickle jar. This is a follow-up episode to For the Love of Romance, where Leah had shared her smut survey. She recommended two books for me, one being Silver in the Wood, the other Check and Mate. And we do plan to do, eventually, whenever I see Leah next, a book club episode on both those books. But after having finished Silver in the Wood, I want to discuss it while the fruit is still ripe in my mind. It'll be more of a teaser, if anything, because I don't want to give too much away. And that's Silver in the Wood by Emily Tesh. I really like this praise on the cover from Naomi Novik that says, "A true story of the woods, of the fey, and of the heart. Deep and green and wonderful." It is just under 100 pages, so it's a quick read, but it's also a good read in the month of March, at least in my neck of the woods. It's still cold out, but you can see the green hatching through, and particularly today, there was a storm rolling through and I had my windows up. That's the kind of tone that this book presents. And so I'm actually just going to start at chapter 1 and read a few pages, just so you can get an idea of how Emily Tesh writes, which to me is very wispy. Instead of going into these lengthy descriptions, she feeds you maybe 3 words max, just a few wisps of an idea, and then you as the reader piece it together from there. And she writes it very much how I imagine someone would narrate the story, which I typically don't have a narrator's voice in my head when I'm reading a book that's not my own. But I'm always craving a nature book this time of year when spring is germinating, and this satisfied that craving. There'll be no preamble to set this excerpt up since we are starting on page 1, which is marked page 9, but you get the idea. It was the middle of an autumn downpour when Tobias first met Henry Silver. Summer had come and gone and the wood was quiet. Tobias was snug inside his neat little cottage with Pearl asleep on the hearth, tail twitching occasionally as she dreamed of catching sparrows. He had all his knives laid out in a row on the table and his oil stone to hand. He looked up through the cloudy panes of his one good window and saw the young man in a well-fitted gray coat stumbling along the track with wet leaves blowing into his face and his hat a crumpled ruin in his hands. Then Tobias didn't even really think about it, just stepped outside and hollered for him to come in. The young man looked up with a startled expression. He had a soft boyish face and pale gray eyes, and his mud-colored hair was plastered to his skin. "I said, come on in, you're getting soaked," called Tobias from his doorway. The young man stared at him a little longer, and then carefully opened Tobias's garden gate, closed it again behind him, and walked down the path to the cottage. Tobias stood aside to let him in. "Need some help with that coat?" he asked. "Thank you," said the young man, and once Tobias had taken it off him, it was a damn good coat, even Tobias could tell that, the kind so perfectly tailored it required a servant to pour you into it and peel you out again. He saw that his new guest really was soaked through. "I'll get you some clothes," he said. He went into the cottage's one other room and fetched out some of his old things. "I'm Tobias Finch," he said, as he came back to the main room. The young man was crouched by the fire. Pearl had opened slitted eyes to consider him, but she was a very unflappable cat, not likely to be startled from her warm spot by a stranger who did not disturb her. "Silver," said his guest after a moment. "Henry Silver." "Pleasure's all mine, Mr. Silver," said Tobias, and offered him the pile of dry clothes. Silver got changed and then sat down by the fire again. Pearl graciously crawled into his lap and butted his hand with her head to indicate he might have the honor of petting her. Tobias sat down by the window and returned to sharpening his knives. He let himself glance over once in a while, but Silver didn't seem too inclined to chatter, and Tobias had never been the talkative type. He often intimidated people, being a big and grim-looking sort of fellow. He'd accepted it years ago and had long since stopped trying to be the kind of man who smiled enough to make up for it. Silver's hair dried into fluffy curls, and although not a particularly small man, he looked like he might disappear inside Tobias's shirt and trousers. An hour or so went by. Silver stroked the cat, who eventually began to purr. Tobias finished sharpening his knives, put them all away in their proper places, and got out his mending. The rain was still going strong, rattling on the roof and through the trees. An occasional distant boom meant there was thunder in the wind somewhere. Might go all night, he said at last, owning the truth. You can have my bed. They say a madman lives in Green Hollow Wood, said Silver, looking over at him. Who's they? Said Tobias. The people I spoke to in Hollertown Village. They say there's a wild man out here, a priest of the old gods, or a desperate criminal, or just an ordinary lunatic. He eats nothing but meat, raw, and it has made him grow to a giant's stature, or so I was given to understand at the Fox and Feathers. They informed me I would know him by his height and his hair. His hair? Said Tobias. Waist length and unwashed, said Silver, looking at Tobias. Now that's slander, said Tobias. It's not past my elbows, and I wash all over every week. I'm glad to hear it, Mr. Finch, said Silver. The rest's all true, said Tobias. Old gods and banditry and lunacy? And the one where I eat people, said Tobias, unsmiling. Silver laughed abruptly, a splendid peal of sound. Maidens, they told me, yellow-haired for preference. Nothing for you to worry about then, said Tobias. He finished darning his old sock. I'll make up the bed, fresh for you, or as fresh as it'll go. You're very kind, said Silver. You don't even know who I am. Figured you must be the new owner up at Green Hollow Hall, said Tobias, which makes you my landlord. Not being kind, just buttering you up. He made up the bed in the other room with the clean set of winter blankets which he hadn't been planning to get out for another week. The old blankets were stained with moss-green markings. Tobias bundled them up in the corner to wash. Are you sure about this? Said Silver when Tobias waved him towards the bed. Where will you sleep? Floor, said Tobias. It doesn't look very comfortable, said Silver. The bed's big enough to share, surely. He gave Tobias a smile. Tobias looked down at him and said, Really? Well, said Silver after contemplating the bulk of Tobias for a moment or two. Maybe not. I'll be all right. I sleep out by the fire plenty of nights this time of year. Pearl'll keep me company, said Tobias. Get along to bed with you. I'd argue longer, but I am tired, said Silver. You must let me make it up to you somehow. Cut my rent, said Tobias. Silver went off to sleep in Tobias's bed in Tobias's shirt, and Pearl treacherously went and joined him. So Tobias sat alone by the fire, not sleeping. As it burned lower and lower, the rain died down to a drizzle, and then it quieted, and there was only the gentle drip, drip from the leaves of the old oak tree behind the cottage. Tobias took up a newly sharpened knife and trimmed his fingernails. He'd meant to do it earlier, but then Silver had been there. Afterwards, he swept up the scattered dry curls of dead leaves and tossed them on the embers. Sometime after midnight, sitting in the near dark and thinking about nothing very much, Tobias suddenly snorted with laughter. Silver had been inviting him, and not just to share a bed that definitely couldn't fit the two of them. How long had it been, if Tobias couldn't even recognize a handsome lad suggesting a bit of mutual entertainment anymore? A long, long time. That was what. A long time, whispered the low rustle of the breeze in the leaves outside. A long time, sang the drip, drip, drip of rainwater softly, while Tobias sat clear-eyed and sleepless in the dark, listening to the wood. In the morning, Silver thanked him and bade him farewell cheerfully enough. Tobias pointed out the road to the hall and handed him his clothes, dry and not too weather-stained, to change back into. Heaven knows what the housekeeper will think, said Silver, when I tell her I spent the night with the wild man in the woods. She'll have the Reverend come and visit to check you over for black magic, most likely, said Tobias. Silver laughed as if he'd been joking. Thank you again for your hospitality, he said. Then he was striding off into the woodland. Tobias watched him go, trim in his good coat, hatless, and light-footed among the leaves. A nice young fellow, certainly. He finished his mending that morning and rehung the cottage door that had swollen in the rain, and went looking for mistletoe. The old oak obliged him as usual, but more never hurt, and Tobias learned over the years it was worth his time to walk the woods after a rainstorm. He went down to the gully where the stream ran quick, up to the edge of the hills, skirted around the village, and checked the old shrine. It was looking pretty ragged since they built the village church, but someone had left a handful of blackberries. Tobias ate them one by one as he went to take a look at the woodman's copse. The chief there knew his work, so there were no problems. They'd set up a crossed circle of white stones facing east, casual looking enough to fool a priest, but there wasn't much power in it. More of a habit than a protection these days. Still, Tobias appreciated the gesture. It made his work easier. The woods had been cut back around the hall back in the year 10, and Tobias couldn't get close, but he stood at the edge of the pretty garden they'd laid out and eyed the old building with its dark windows. Silver was a nice fellow. Tobias didn't regret inviting him in out of the rain. He didn't find any more mistletoe in the end, but really the oak's offering was enough. He went back to his cottage, fixed himself some dinner, strapped on his knives, and oiled his crossbow. A sprig of mistletoe in his belt, clean socks with darned heels, good boots, and he was ready. So we have Tobias Finch preparing for something. We find out what later on. I won't get into that part because I want to focus on the introduction to Henry Silver and Tobias Finch. What really won me over in what I just shared is his invasive thoughts on Henry Silver. When he sees Henry Silver leave, he says, "A nice young fellow, certainly." And then he's gathering this mistletoe and walking to the shrine. He observes this white stone circle set up for him, very ominous. And in the midst of him making himself prepared, he has another invasive thought. Silver was a nice fellow. It almost felt like it was crudely inserted, but I think it's indicative of these thoughts that just bubble up. You had this interaction where you really connected with someone, you're not sure why, but both parties felt it. You part ways and life continues on, yet you're still having these thoughts fade in and out of your mind of them. I loved that. And what a great setting for this light, flirtatious storyline. I also like how we concentrate very much on Tobias sharpening his knives. And then we swiftly move to darning his socks, combining these feelings of threatening, utilitarian, but also domestic comfort. We also get that domestic comfort when he invites Henry Silver in, gives him dry clothes, fresh sheets, sets him up. And then when he goes back to sharpening his knives, you're wondering, what is actually going on here? I remember thinking that from the very first page, what a strange opening. I wouldn't just invite someone into my home immediately upon sight. There must be some sort of evil ulterior motive here. But then, as we see, he releases Henry Silver the next morning. And Henry Silver, Emily Tesh makes a point to say, is light on his feet afterward. He's not hurried to get out. He's actually rejuvenated and refreshed. And so you're wondering, is he naive? I think Emily Tesh does a good job of making you assume Henry Silver is naive. I want to argue that Henry Silver isn't actually naive. I just think his curiosities were more risky or thrilling. Interesting point to discuss later on with more context. Another thing that I want to point out, I actually stumbled over this description a few times. When Tobias is trimming his fingernails, the line goes, "Tobias took up a newly sharpened knife and trimmed his fingernails. He'd meant to do it earlier, but then Silver had been there. Afterwards, he swept up the scattered dry curls of dead leaves and tossed them on the embers." With those two actions so closely placed together, my first thought was, he trimmed his fingernails, which then became dry leaves. He swept them up and threw them on the embers. And I thought that that was a very clever hint that there's more to Tobias than just a human form. That's also hinted at when he pulls off the sheets and they have these mossy green stains on them. So Emily is slowly introducing this idea that this man is carrying both human and plant characteristics. I think it's harmless to decide either way if you want those dry curls of dead leaves to be his fingernails or if you want them to be leaves that have blown in from the storm wind. But as you continue on through the book, it's very true to form for her style. She'll set you up to think one thing and then another happens. I think this novella is a great juxtaposition of comfort cozy cottage against insidious intent. Some of these books that I share, I'll buy and then give away, but this is one that I will keep in my book cabinet, and it's something that you can easily pick back up and read in the span of a night, especially if you're into seasonal books like I am.